Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Well, the message we have today is one that is, I believe, is a very important message, one that I think and believe that if we adopt it as Christians, that our lives will literally go from wherever it is now, it will increase by 100%. It will double. It will even triple. It will even quadruple. And so try to get something out of this to make you be a person that can glorify God even more. Amen? Got your Bibles with you? Ready to go? Amen? As I was telling somebody today, you know, the Bible is compared to what in the Bible? The actual Word of God is compared to a sword. Well, when was the last time you saw a sword? Anybody? Come on now. I dare anybody who said they've seen a sword yesterday. We don't use swords today, do we? Come on now, do we? What do we use in place of swords? Rifles. Amen. So if Paul was writing today and he was talking about the soldier, the modern day soldier, he'd be talking about the rifle when he talks about the Word of God. Amen. And I told somebody this week that when you take your rifle out with you, it's got to have bullets in it. Come on now. It's got to have them bullets in it. You got to be locked and loaded for Jesus. And the bullets represents the Word of God. The bullets represents the promises of God. They're in there that we apply to our lives. So when we meet difficult situations, when we meet some unsurmountable circumstances, we take the promises of God, we lock them in the rifle and load them in the rifle, lock them there, and we apply them to our lives. When we're tempted to be down, we look into the Bible and it says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's locked and it's loaded to meet any circumstances of life. Sometimes we got to go through life and you may have lost a partner. You may have lost a mother or a father. But you say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. You got to be locked and loaded for Jesus. Because sometimes many of us, we go out. We start our day without reading our Bibles. We just start our day. And some of us, if we read our Bibles, we don't meditate on the Bible. We don't take that Word of God and apply it to ourselves as if God himself is putting it in our hearts. Amen? Amen. It's okay to be religious. Go beyond your religiosity and become spiritual. Go beyond your denomination and get the Spirit of God into your heart. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit represents what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. It's the rifle of the Holy Ghost. Then he says, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does not come of himself. He takes the Word of God that is represented by the living Word, Jesus Christ, and he takes every single Word of God and he puts it inside our hearts. Amen? So don't dare ever go out there like a soldier with your rifle without bullets. Amen. Praise be to God. So let me ask you again. Do you have your Bibles with you? Amen. Amen? All right. And I pray and hope. I challenged our young people who you know, they now carry their Bibles around in their little phones. Amen? And that's good. I actually was able to download the Sabbath school lesson into my phone this week. I mean, I'm telling you, I can just see every single day of the week right there. And I says, wow, look at that. But I tell you, if I send more text messages than I read of the divine messages of God, then something's wrong with that picture. Amen. Sometimes we ought to stop sending text messages and start reading Jesus's text messages to us. Amen. You have the technology now, and it's there, yes, but it's there for good or for evil. Use it for good. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the two gifts that you've made so abundantly available to mankind, we say thank you for allowing us to enjoy this worship service. Enjoy the singing. As many of us, we came in here with a heavy heart. We came in here with other things on our mind, but somehow through the presence of the Holy Spirit, sensing that we were in the very presence of God, our hearts were warmed, our hearts were filled, and we sense, Father God, that you are here, that we are here, and that we're only here to worship you. So as we dig a little deeper into your word, God, disappoint us not. Somebody here, Lord, everybody here, anybody here, Lord, we all need something from you. We don't just need a handout. We don't just need something just tossed to us as if we are some stepchild or as if we are some adopted children or so, if we are some distant cousin somewhere. But you said, oh God, that we are the children of the Most High God. So, Father God, you will treat us like children, like you said you would. You will treat us as ones who are in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. The topic of our message today is power to live the abundant life. Power to live the abundant life. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God has given us the power to live the abundant life, and we got to use that power, and we've got to be blessed by that power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I use the word power for a specific reason. We've used and we've preached many of my messages. It's been on a series of the power of God. And I don't want us to get so accustomed to this word power that we forget why God put it in the Bible. You think about it, that everything we have around us that we use pretty much needs power to either manufacture it or to use it. Have you noticed that? We live and are surrounded with things that use power. Think about that oil leak. You can't even call it a leak. but think about the power it took to make that oil rig, okay? And then think about the power that they had to literally manufacture to stop the leak. Power. Everything around us needs power. And so we're talking about spiritual power, aren't we? Are we? Spiritual power. Spiritual power to live the abundant life. We talked about in the past power to look up, powerfully and boldly standing up for Jesus, powerful promises for a new life. And the question is, are you using the power, the spiritual power that God has given you? What power are you using? When you're faced just with life, where do you get your help from? God has made available to every single one of us spiritual power to live this life. Amen? And if we sometimes think we can live it based on our own power, based on somebody else's power, Eventually, we're going to have to come back around and fall back on our knees and say, Jesus, help me. Amen? Nobody in this room was created for anybody else but Jesus. You got that? And because we are all of God's creation, get this, He is not going to allow anything to take us away from the path that He has laid before us. He's not just going to sit back and let somebody else do some harm to you. And He knows that the great deceiver, Satan, He knows that when he tries to do harm to you, he's not going to come like a dragon, or he's not going to come like a monster. He's not going to come like the big bad wolf. He's always going to come like he's your friend. He's always going to come like he's nice. He's always going to come like, oh, this is so pleasureful. He's always going to come like, this will just help you take away your worries. Always before that venom, that spiritual venom that he has in him, just like a snake that has the beautiful, colorful skin that glitters in the sun, that dazzles its prey. That's when the devil comes and he will stick us with the spiritual venom called sin. And if you notice, sin will always do three things. Always. It will do many more, but guarantee it, these three things. Sin will always take you further than you intended to go. That sin will always cost you more than you want to pay and that you intended to pay. You got that? Do I have a witness? Come on now, do I have a witness? Don't sit there like you've been saved and sanctified all your life. And even though we're saved and sanctified, We still have our challenges, don't we? We still got this flesh that rises up that we've got to discipline and we've got to keep in check. But sin will also do one more thing. Sin will keep you longer than you intended to stay. So you know, you can do it the long way if you want and try to do it your way. But eventually you're not going to come back to the place and say, you know what, God? You made me. You put me here. I belong to you. I've got to do it your way. Is that all right? Praise be to God. I just love God. I love God so much. You know, He'll see me veer off on this way, and He will whisper in my ear. You know? And the times when I ignore Him, He will let the whisper go into a conversational voice. And then if I ignore Him some more, then He says, okay, if He don't listen to me, I'm going to let something else get His attention. And come on now, do I have a witness? And he will allow things to get my attention. Oh, I remember when I was dating. Uh-huh. I dated at one time, by the way. I dated quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Amen. God had to take me out of the country and plant me in a different place. I wasn't that bad, y'all. Come on now. But I dated. And I, you know, and you veer off. And next minute I know she left me for somebody else. Because why? I didn't listen to that still small voice. I didn't listen to that conversational voice. Uh-huh. And so God says, you know what? I'm going to let something else get His attention. Mm-hmm. Because He loves me too much. He's not just going to sit by and see the person that He made. Even though I'm like a diamond in the rough. Even though you're like a diamond in the rough. Even though it seems as though we're, you know, there's a lot of imperfections in us. God still made us. And according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His masterpiece. And every time a sculptor, every time an inventor actually gets something, gets the raw materials, he smiles or she smiles and looks at it and says, wow, and envisions what is going to be the final result. That is what God does to each and every one of us. Hallelujah! My. One of these days soon, we're going to see Him. Aren't we? We're going to see him just like Adam and Eve saw him. Hallelujah. And that curse that our lesson is talked about and will continue to talk about, the adult Sabbath school lesson, that curse that was placed here ever since Adam and Eve sinned will be taken away forever. Amen. And we will not have to be separated from God. We will not have to endure all the sin and all the trials and the suffering and all the pain. Oh my goodness. One of these days, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. 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 So power to live the abundant life. That's what we're talking about. I have a quote here. I'm going to read it. The quote says, I would rather live my life as if there is a God and die to find out there isn't, than to live my life as if there isn't a God and die to find out there is. Do I have anybody here that thinks like me? Amen? Hallelujah. But I believe there is a God. Amen? I cannot prove it to you, but I believe it. I believe the things that are happening in my life and has happened in my life are not my doing, are not just my imagination. They are real. Hallelujah. I believe that when my soul is overcome by trouble and anxiety, and I believe that even when my soul has been overcome by sin and guilt, and that afterwards when I get this peaceful feeling inside of me, it is not my imagination. I believe it is God with his redeeming grace that has flooded my soul with the presence and the promises of Jesus that I have received by faith, believing that I've been forgiven, believing that I have been cleansed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have another quote here. Good insurance will get you in the grave, but only blessed assurance will get you out of the grave. Come on and say amen. That blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of what, everybody? Glory divine. It's that blessed assurance that I want us to understand, that I want us to acknowledge today by the grace of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says here, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother, and that word "and" should really be but his mother, called his name Jabez, meaning because I bore him with sorrow. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you, the Most High God, would bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And the Bible says, God granted him that which he requested. Isn't that beautiful? You've heard, many of you have heard of this Bible character by the name of Jabez. He was just a regular, as we would call, a regular Joe Blow. He was not from any royal ancestry. He was not from a rich family. He was not from any notoriety at all. Just a normal person. And the only reason why in chapter 4 his name is actually included in the Bible is because the scribe of the book of 1 Chronicles was just recording the heads of family members of the people of Israel. That's how his name got in there. But somehow, because of the way that Jabez lived, his name no longer meant sorrow or pain. It was changed to something else. And in life, we are born, and when we are born in a circumstances or situation that we're in, and sometimes our reputation is judged by the things around us, our environment, or our family. Amen? People judge us. People, make even provisions for us. And you ought to be aware of this, young people, when you go to class. Teachers are able to get your transcripts, and they look at your transcripts, and they judge you by your transcripts. Amen. If somebody judged me by my high school transcripts, they wouldn't even want me in their class. I'm talking about not just any regular teacher. I'm talking about the teachers, the teachers who really believe and they want their students to excel and get the best. There are teachers like that, and they want every single person in their class to get an A. If such a teacher saw my transcript there, says, you know what? This class is being taught by so-and-so over there. You want to be in that class. People judge you. But you don't have to allow your future to be based upon your past. Come on now. All right. Let me let you into a little secret, if I haven't done it already. During high school, I was seeing myself through school. I'm talking about the C grade. just barely getting by. In England, in the American system, you have a good system here where you have the GPA. We don't have that over there. You basically go through your entire high school, and at the very end of it, you're given exams over about 2 to 3 days over everything you've taken in high school. It's a national exam. And you get a grade from A to E. And as a matter of fact, they even have another grade called a U. It means unclassified. For real. And so there's really nothing to measure you and to go on. You get little grade reports and all that, but it's not like the system here, which is pretty good, as a matter of fact. It helps to motivate you to do better. But I tell you, my grades were just average. But I made an effort, and I said, you know what, my future is not based upon my past. And I decided that when I got into college, I realized, you know what, I can do better. Those classes I got C's in, I knew the material. I knew that if I had taken the time to study, if I had taken time to look up the material, I could have gotten 100% on my homework. If I had taken the time just to memorize some of those terminologies, I would have gotten 100% on my test. I knew that. Have you ever been there, young people, where you got a C, but you knew that the information was not too hard for you? You just knew that you can do it. You ever been there, anybody? I'm not the only one like that. Y'all just gonna leave me hanging, huh? That's all right. That's who Jabez was. I'm just trying to paint you the picture of Jabez. And the Bible does not really tell us why his mother called him that name, Jabez. It doesn't really get into it. It just says, I'm talking about the details of it. It's all the Bible says, because she bore him in sorrow Or another word says she bore him with extreme pain. We didn't know if that was only physical pain or if that was some kind of emotional pain, because it's got to be more than physical pain, because, come on, how many women do you know, especially back in the Bible days, that didn't have epidurals? How many women do you know that will give, you know, bear child without pain? I can imagine, you know, that maybe Jabez was her first, and she just had no idea what this childbirth pain was like. And she just named her child Pain. I don't know. But somehow I believe it was much more than the physical pain of childbirth. I believe there was, I don't know if there was some kind of trauma that was happening in her life that was surrounded by the father of her child. I don't know. There was some kind of drama going on there that we know we just don't have the details on. But the bottom line is he was called Pain. That's what his name meant. Because every single name in the Bible had a meaning. What's your child's name? Jabez. What does it mean? Pain. Every single name, you know, the name Jacob, for instance, means what? All right, it means a thief. Okay. Means a thief, Jacob, a thief. That's the reputation he got. Then God gave him a new name. All right, he gave him a new name. And that name was Israel. And the word Israel means a prince with God. Okay, so names, people back in the Bible days, they had names, and every single person had a meaning to that name. Right, but Jabez had a name, and it meant pain. But as he got older, because of his determination, his belief about who he was and whose he was, his reputation changed. The meaning that other people had attached to him, especially his mother, didn't fit anymore. Are you with me? People may call you names. Hello. People may look down on you, belittle you. People may say some mean things to you, but don't let that define you. Amen. You don't have to. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, I can determine not to let words hurt me. Amen. But to do that, I've got to get some more powerful words on the inside of me, so that when you call me any hurtful words, I got more powerful words that I'm looking at, that I believe in, that is not going to bother me. It's much like that back in the 1800s, they caught this man that stole sheep. That was him. He knows, and he was just known as a sheep stealer, and he evaded the police, and finally they caught him. And to punish him, they decided not to imprison him, but that he will have an initial branded on his forehead. S.T. Sheep Stealer. Everybody knew him as that, Sheep Stealer. Had a mark on him, Sheep Stealer. Sheep stealer, sheep stealer, sheep stealer. But he determined not to allow the reputation others gave to stick to him. And he went through his life and he says, you know what? That's not who I am. And he decided to make his life a life of giving, a life of helping, a life of providing for people. And he was like the modern day Dorcas. Just helped people and kind to people and so forth. And one day he died. He died. And people, you know, the new generation who didn't really know him back in his, you know, younger days, and they were all sorry that this man had died. And they began to say, you know what? I've always wondered what this ST stands for. Do you know? And, you know, the people back then, they were too young to know what it meant. And I don't know what it is. And somebody says, maybe it means saint. I don't know. The reputation other people give you doesn't have to stick with you. You can determine in your own heart, by the grace of God, believing that you are put here by God, amen, for something more than this. Now, I believe that God, there's no other God but Jehovah. I don't like using that word Jehovah. I like using the word Yahweh. There's no other God like Yahweh. By the way, Jehovah is a mistransliteration. We won't get into that. That's why I don't like using that. I like using Yahweh, the Lord. I believe there's no other God but Yahweh, Elohim. He's the supreme, the highest God. He's the God that governs the entire universe. I believe that. And I believe that that God, not some other demigod that he made to take care of me, but that God is the one that literally planned me into existence. And that God is the one that's now sustaining my life. I truly believe that. So when I look at his credentials of who he is, and I look at what I am doing here on earth, you know what I tell God? God, is this the best you can do? God, is this all I was put here for? God, did you go through all that trouble just to assign me the only DNA in the universe that fits me just for this? Is that all you got? Now, some of you may feel that that's kind of bold, talking to God like that. But I was told to come boldly. I don't come rudely. I don't come just any kind of, I come respectfully, but boldly to the throne of grace. I believe that I was put here by God. Even though I have my super dynamite limitations. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. I don't know how many mistakes or wrong things that you do. But I only have two. Everything I say and everything I do. I have many limitations. I have many hang-ups. But I still believe that Yahweh, Elohim, created me, put me here. And I believe that he has plans for my life, plans not to hurt me, plans not to just make me an average person, a mediocre person, but plans to make me be fulfilled. I really believe that. Jabez believed that. And that name that his mother gave to him, that other people agreed with, did not stick with him. And as a result, in verse 9, especially listen to this, young people, the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. More honorable. When you honor God and you are honored by God, you can actually live without the honor of men. Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable than his brothers. Verse 10 says, and then Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, in other words, he prayed. In other words, he took time to ask God for what he needed. It's so deep, saints, that the Bible even mentions in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, it even mentions that a city was named after Jabez. How are you going to name a city after a person named Payne? Verse 55 of chapter 2 says, the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. This was a place where noble people dwelt. People who wrote and copied the scriptures. They dwelt in the town of Jabez. That's something. That tells me, brothers and sisters, that no matter where we are in life, our best days are yet to come. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many things that opportunities have passed you by. Your best days are yet to come. And this prayer that Jabez prays, it's almost like a vow that he makes to God. It's almost like a commitment. It's almost like a benediction. If I was to say to you, may the Lord bless you indeed, and may he enlarge your coast and your territory, may his hand be with you, that he would keep you from evil, that it may not grieve you. If I was to say that to you, I'll be actually giving a benediction to you. I'll be giving a blessing to you. Here, Jabez actually pronounced a benediction on himself. Did you get that? How many times do we look for other people to bless us? How many times do we look for handouts? A little this, a little that. Somebody else got it. I didn't get it. But Jabez says, you know what? I'm not going to look for my blessings from other people. I'm going to pronounce a blessing upon myself in the form of a prayer. And he says, oh, that you, oh God, will bless me indeed. Amen? And I don't have time to get into all to the details as to why he said that. He may have been facing something crucial in his life. We know that he was a very successful person in life. Tradition has it that he was a doctor in the law of God. He is one of the top law individuals. When I say law, I'm not talking about civil law. I'm talking about the Torah, the religious laws. Tradition has it that he was a doctor in the law, like that young man that came to Jesus. He was somebody that had educated himself, and so much that the scribe's town was named after him. Jabez believed in Isaiah 43 verse 7. Even though that text was not written yet, the idea was already there. He believed that he was created for God's glory. He believed that. And he believed that anything he needed to glorify God, to make God just radiate with splendor even more, he believed that whatever he needed for that, God will supply it. Do you believe that for your life? Do you believe that according to Isaiah 43 verse 7, that you were literally created for God's glory? Amen? Now, normally, it's the inventor that glorifies the invention. You get that? If I create something, I'm going to glorify it, and right? I'm going to put it on display. But here, God is allowing the created to glorify the creator. That's what he's doing. He's allowing the lesser to use the lesser intellect that they have and the lesser language that they have to glorify the one who is infinite. That's what he's doing. You were created and designed to glorify God. And the only way that light switch will actually come on for you to do that is for you first to believe it. To truly, truly, truly believe it. And I just hope and pray that somebody here would literally flip that light switch in their head and believe they were put here by God to glorify God. And if you were to summarize what Jabez asked for, he asked for five things. How many things? Five things. We're just going to list them. And I'll ask you this question. What if your life included these five things? How different it would be. And I encourage you to ask for these five things in your life. You are a child of God. You're not a stepchild. You're not somebody who's just a Johnny come lately and somebody on the side, and you get the leftovers. No, you're a child of God. Think like it, believe it. These are the things he asked her. If you were to put it in five, make a list of five things, and beginning with the letter P, this is what it would be. He asked for more prosperity, more property, more power, more protection, and more peace. You got that? How many of you can use a little bit more of those five P's in your life? Amen. Is it okay to ask God for more prosperity? Is it okay to ask God for more property? Is it okay to ask God for more power? Is it okay to ask God for more protection? Is it okay to ask God for more peace? Amen. And he left it with God. He didn't cry like a baby and throw a tantrum. And he didn't have the attitude, God, if you don't give me this, I'm never going to speak to you again. He didn't have that attitude. He just simply went and says, you know what? In order to glorify God more, I need these five things in my life. God has put me here in the land of Canaan. He has put me here, and generations upon generations have been, and we still have not conquered these Canaanites. We're still having to live like we are lesser than they, and God put us here in the land. He took it from them, and he gave it to us, but they are not conquered yet. I believe that even after several generations, after being in Canaan, I believe that God will give me that which he promised me. And he prayed for it. And the Bible says God granted him that which he requested. There's a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. If you have not read it, or if you have not read it lately, I would encourage you to read it. God, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about God who wants to give us more. I just want to close with two. 3 John and verse 2. The book of 3 John, which is just a couple of books before Revelation, the book of Revelation, it says this in verse 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prosper. You got that? Three things. To be prosperous, healthy, and to be mentally and emotionally prosperous or healthy. So financial health, physical health, mental and emotional health. When you have those three things in life, I tell you what, you can go places. Amen? And don't look down on people who God has blessed in those three areas. You pray the prayer like Jabez prayed, and maybe God will entrust you with more. Amen? Another text is John chapter 10, verse 10. It says here that John, the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come so that you may have life, and that you may have it how? More abundantly. God wants you to have more in life. He put you here for more. But he didn't put you here as a pet. He didn't put you here as an animal. If he did, then he wouldn't need you to ask for more. He would just give you more. Amen? He placed in us, different from all the other creatures, he placed in us a thinking brain, a brain that can work things out, a brain like his mind, who can look at the possibilities and the probabilities and look at the options and pick the best one. Animals cannot do that. They act purely out of instinct, and it's based upon, what has been passed on to them on their ancestry. Nobody teaches a dog to dig. It just does it. I see my dog trying to dig the carpet, trying to dig his little cushion. Why? Instinct is based upon, he was made to dwell in nature where there are leaves and where there is soil, and so he digs. We were made in the image of God. Amen? And he gives us that ability to ask, to want the best. But if the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that you have not because you ask not. Ask for it. But don't ask for it just to accumulate more physical wealth, more spiritual or religious wealth, or more just for you. No. You say, God, I want this for you. I want this to glorify your name. Amen? And that's what God wants for us. But you know, more than anything in this life that we can ever, ever ask for is something that God has already given, and that is eternal life. Amen? You've heard me tell the story, and I want to close with this one. I've told it before, about a woman who died, and she asked the pastor, Pastor, when I die, I'm in my coffin, I want you to have them put a fork in my hand. Remember that story? And when people come around and see the fork in my hand, they wonder, why in the world is this woman who's in the casket put a fork in her hand? And Pastor, after they've gone by and they've viewed me, I want you to explain to them why the fork is in my hand. You see, all my life, I went to church, and I'll go to church potlucks. Amen. And they will always say, after they fed us the food, they will say, save your fork, because the best is yet to come. And we will hold on to our forks for the dessert. Amen. And I tell you, saints, in this life, God wants us to live with more prosperity, with more property, with more power, with more protection, and more peace for his glory. Amen. But there's even better than that. He wants us to have that abundant life that never, ever ends. How many of you want that life? Let me see your hands. Praise God. Live like it, think like it, talk like it, walk like it by the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you just for the joy we have, the joy, the blessing we have to live for you, to live from you, by you, to you, everything about you. Even that little penny we have just sitting there that we have ignored because we feel is not worth much belongs to you. All the money we have in the bank belongs to you. Every clothes that we have hanging in our wardrobe, that's even in our hamper, even the clothes that we haven't even folded yet belongs to you. The clothes that we're going to buy this week belongs to you, Father God. The food in our pantry belongs to you. Our very bodies belong to you. Oh God, teach us to walk and talk like children who belong to God. Show us your way, Father. The enemy has come and deceived us. The enemy has come and planted spiritual thorns and spiritual weeds in our gardens. The enemy has detoured us and tried to get us to go after things that are not good for us and things that would lead us to eternal death. But, oh God, we ask that you would please block the enemy. You have defeated him twice. Now defeat him again in our lives. Become the king of our lives. Become the real ruler of our lives. We don't want to have it known that we were created by God and we did not live for God. So God, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, would you just surround us with your love, with your protection? Would you surround us, Lord, with your blessings? Would you surround us, oh God, put a hedge of mercy over all around us. We're yours. Forgive us where we have sinned, where we have gone astray. Forgive us when we have just not listened to you. Take us and cleanse us and accept us. We say thank you. If you want to say thank you to God, just tell him thank you right now. And just add to that your own words, your own sentiments. Just let God know how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, how much you believe in him by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And somebody here, Father God, may just be at the point of giving up. And they realize, Lord, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hang in there. Bless that woman, that man. Somebody here, Lord, who may not even be saved, and may not, if they were to die this moment, they may not even have a chance for eternal life, but right now they see that it's a gift from God, and all they have to do is accept the gift and accept the life of Christ in their lives, and he will put it in there day by day, every single moment. And maybe that person wants to say, yes, I want the life of Jesus in my life. Bless that woman, bless that man, bless that girl, that boy, Father, for that. And many are here, Father God, who've literally been walking this walk, this Christian walk. And we know, Lord, we need you. We know we cannot live without you. We know we have our ups and we have our downs, but God, we're holding on to you. Lord, bless that. Bless every single one of us. We need you so desperately. We say thank you. Somebody say thank you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.